your days led on from that experience. So if you've got to spend for 4 or 5 minutes just discussing amongst yourself what your experience of what that was every day, and then afterwards we'll just ask a few people to perhaps say, give some personal experiences. So just chat away.
Delighted that you've been part of us, and it's great that you're making relationships and you look so comfortable in the church. But we were just wondering, and they might struggle to finish this sentence, but they'll get there. We were just wondering how we might best use you. You ever been involved in children's work? What about young people? Do you play a musical instrument? Have you ever longed to make coffee at the end of church, or dreamt of cleaning a church hall when no one else is there? And if you say, well, actually, no, that's never been my dream, they'll say, well, you've got a nice smile. You'd like to be part of the welcome team. And of course, what they want to do is to make you feel like you belong. They need you to belong. They probably need you to do some of those jobs, to be honest. And it's right that you do get involved. But what would a different conversation look like? What if they said to you, we are delighted that you've been part of us, and we're so thrilled that you're building these new relationships. And we were just wondering, where's God already using you, and how can we best equip you? Because we know that what you're involved in will make a difference to us and our life together, that what God is doing through you will change the way we have to do things. That'd be a different conversation, wouldn't it? That'd be a conversation that would give you an idea that you're in a different sort of place. That'd be a conversation that would remind you that the outside is going to make a difference to the inside. It would have indicated that it's not just about all the things we do together, but it's actually about what you're doing wherever you spend most of your time, and that actually our life here together in church, the inside as it were, is to help equip you and sustain you and nurture you for your life on the outside. Actually, that's where you're probably most able to minister for God, and our life together here is to equip you. Over the weeks, we spent a lot of time talking about this. But it's not just that the inside equips you for the outside, but actually that the outside should affect the inside. We see this in the early church, and it's linked to one of the passages that we dealt with in an earlier session. It's when Peter and John had healed the man at the beautiful gate. You remember the occasion where just by a look, a whole number of events take place. In this session, I want us to pick it up when they actually go back to the gathered church, the church that have been praying for them, and they tell their story about what's happened when they've been away from the gathered church. We pick it up in Acts chapter 4, and this is how it goes. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. They'd seen the miracle, and they'd had to address the crowds. They'd been held by the Sanhedrin and called to the court to give an account of themselves. They'd been held in captivity overnight. And here they were, having told their story to the church, and the church prayed. But listen to how they prayed. They didn't pray, oh God, protect us from those people who've wanted to do harm to us. They didn't pray, God, guard us against this happening again. They didn't even pray, God, get them. They prayed, Lord, consider what's happened and enable us to speak boldly. In other words, Lord, You know what's going on here. You know the political situation we're in. You know the tricky scenario we're living in. But Lord, will you help us to do what we need to do where we are? And the Spirit filled them again. The place was shaken and they continued to speak with boldness. Kind of intriguing, isn't it? That actually as they tell their story about what's going on the outside, that actually their prayer together on the inside is different. And their expectation of God is different. And their experience of God is different. Where have you been today? Some of you have been teachers and you'll have had to be dealing with the challenges of a classroom. Challenges of the expectation of the role of the job and other staff members. I wonder how that's changing your conversation this evening. Some of you will have been in shops and you'll have had to deal with awkward customers or tiresome, boring jobs that just have to be done. And there'll have been a challenge to how you do those jobs. Some of you might have been in business and having to work out how do you deal with people with justice and fairness. Some of you will have been dealing with older people, perhaps, and caring for them and thinking through how do you do that well. Wherever you've been, how do those experiences change your experience tonight as a group together and the conversations you're having here and now? Sometimes these conversations change a whole church, and a whole church takes on board what's been going on in people's outside lives. Paul and Pearl are fully involved in their local church. They have been all their lives. They're fully engaged in the children's work, and they're gifted and they're committed and they're determined that the children in church will have the chance to explore faith in a way that will make sense for themselves and that can be a bedrock for their own lives. But that's not what takes all their time. As well as work and their own family and their elderly parents, all these people who need caring for, they also foster young children, and they bring those children to church with them. Every new child that comes is introduced to the church, and we pray for them. We pray that whatever's been disruptive in their life, whatever's led them to this moment, that the Lord might really be with them and present to them and care for them. And it's important that the church recognises that there are new children as part of our church family, at least for a little while. They need to get to know these children. They need to know their names. They need to know who they are. These children might only be part of the church for a very short time. It's important that the church takes notice of them. Paul and Pearl appreciate the fact that the church wants to get involved in supporting them as they support these young children in this difficult period of their lives. But actually, their life of fostering is changing our life together, and we value that and we want that to happen. Fostering is not everybody's vocation. It's not everybody that would want to be involved with that. But everybody does have a frontline outside, and every church needs to be shaped by it. We need to recognize that the outside will enable our life together to be richer, that actually we will grow together, and that we might even experience more of God and different things of God. This final session, we want you to bring together some of the conversations you've already had and to think through, well, what will life look like as a small group or as a church as you move forward? What will you do together? How will you support one another? What prayers might you end up praying? What conversations will you have? And might you even hear the ripple of a building being shaken as God does something new amongst you? We hope so, as you continue to live your life as a whole life disciple.
Right, so it was an interesting clip, that very thought-provoking. So what we're going to do now is move into the kind of question times here. So again, discussion groups. Look at the questions. Really, it's asking you to share your responses to the film, and particularly the story of the foster parents, which I think was extremely encouraging and moving as well. And one of the questions here, have you had experiences of the inside life of a church changing because of outside activities of its people? So, have a little chat, and then we'll come back later on. there's lots of chatting going on there, so it's exciting to hear that. So has anybody got any experiences they'd like to share from of the response to that question? Is there anybody nominated a group leader and want to share a question there at all? There's lots of chatting going on, so there must be some questions to come out of that, or answers to come to the question from that. Yep. There we go. Thank you.
We've been discussing all sorts of things in this little group, but one of the things was the number of young children that are coming to the church now. And we find it's absolutely lovely to see them joining in with the songs and the things and about the book going into the schools, which we thought was a brilliant idea. So it's just lovely. That's from like the outside in and the inside out, from the children's point of view. And I think it's really wonderful. And it's showing what the increase in number of children we have here. And that's lovely.
Excellent. That's good. Thank you.
I didn't even know I was supposed to be saying anything. I'm guessing most of you here know we're foster carers. It's just because obviously on the film they were talking about foster carers. And I don't know, some of you may know, some of you may not, but our little baby that we've got, who we've had since he was 12 days old, is moving on the 16th of March to a new family who are Christians. So his story has gone from expecting at one point in the pregnancy that he wasn't going to survive to being born symptom-free and not having any symptoms of what they expected throughout his life. And he's astounded everybody. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Anybody else like to share? Yeah, excellent. Right, Mandy, there we go.
Yeah, we were talking about Carers Cafe and how it's really been great to be able to have non-Christians come into the church and really be part of a group. And it's been sort of a privilege to meet them and sort of be with them as a carer, and how important it is really to carry on having vulnerable groups be able to come into the church and not see it as a church but other people like them sharing experiences. And was saying about Ellie and how she drives the bus and everything, and how we have really good outings, and it doesn't matter what faith you have, it's just, and it makes you realize how much out there need to be in here. And what they really need is someone to listen to them and to share with them as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Mandy. Brilliant. Anybody else like to have the opportunity to? Peter.
New Wine, a couple of years ago, I heard a story about a local church, a church in Thurrock, where one of the young people had found out that within a area where the church was, there were about 150, 200 kids that were on free school meals. And it was coming up to the holidays, and she was just saying, what are they going to have each day? So she prayed about it with the youth leader, and through them thinking about going out, they were able to provide, I think it was food for about 150 kids for pretty much the whole of summer holidays through funding that she was able to find. But the church did it, and now that church, I think, has more young people and kids in it than it does adults, to the point where they've had to suggest sometimes that the main area is where the kids are and the adults have to go out. And that's pretty exciting. But it's just the fact that actually she didn't say, oh, it's not something I can do. The youth, it was about praying about it and saying, equip us to be able to do it. And the church stepped up and did it. And it changed, by them looking out, it changed what happened in as well. And that was, I think that's pretty cool.
Thanks, Peter. Wonderful. Anybody else like to share anything?
Sorry, I just feel that we've been greatly impacted by Bruce and Linda and their front line in the high street, and even when Scott was new and people were saying, are you going to Mr. and Mrs. Smart's church? You know, are you that minister? They were on the map and they've reached out and they've brought different situations within our church family. And I just think that, you know, they are changing us, and long may it happen.
Now, it's a very good point there. In fact, what Jonathan and I was discussing just before, well, whilst you were chatting away, is that basically what is all being shared here is about relationships and getting to know people. And I was saying to Jonathan that, in a way, we could look at our bathroom mirror in the mornings and have a little sign underneath it with a sign saying, local missionary. So every time you look in the mirror, you're reminded what you've got God's work to do as you step outside the door every day, and just asking God to use you in a wonderful way. So from there, I'll hand the mic over to Jonathan.
Thank you. Good evening to you all. This evening we are looking at commitment to the front line. And what does that actually mean? For the last five sessions, for the last 4 weeks, we've kind of been thinking about what our front line is, you know, where we spend most of our life, what it looks like out there, what are our opportunities. And as we come to the end of this frontline program, it's interesting that we bring it back to actually the gathered people, God's people, together as a church, how the outside, what we all do on our front lines, wherever they are, how that really kind of affects us. And does it, should it affect our behaviour more, maybe, than it does? And some of the challenges that that throws up. We exist as God's people here, I believe, at Raleigh Baptist Church, to serve God. To serve God in his plans and his purposes, which essentially is to point people towards Jesus, first and foremost. We're called to be part of his great plan. His commission, if you like, for us, is to point people towards Jesus. And I think the really interesting thing is that God moves in very different ways, in many different aspects. And because he does, he's not constrained by any one particular thing. So it strikes me right from the outset that as God's gathered church, we too should be adaptable. We should be flexible. We shouldn't be unbending or rigid, because that's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve can do anything, anywhere, anyhow. And so maybe as we begin to unpack this a little bit and reflect on that passage of Scripture, just kind of bear that in mind, that I think that we shouldn't be constrained. We should always look for opportunities and be open to the way in which God might lead us to support one another on our front lines. So as we looked at this passage on the video this evening, really interesting passage, I'm just going to share a couple of reflections that I had on it. You know, it's not rocket science by any means, but I think it is actually quite thought-provoking. The first thing that I thought of was that the early church that we heard up there was a church that met regularly together. If we could have the, Gareth, if we could have the passage of Scripture up there. The first verse, verse 31, it said this: on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. The first thing that Peter and John did when they were released was to go back to their own people. Now just kind of try and put yourselves in their shoes just for a moment. They had healed the cripple. They had spoken to the crowds, and we read previously that 5,000 were added to their number. They were called up to the authorities, the Sanhedrin, stuck in jail overnight and then come up against the religious leaders of the day. They had spent their time talking about the resurrection, defending the faith that they believed. And as soon as they were released, what did they do? They went back to God's people. I find it kind of interesting that God's people were ready and available for them to come back to. This was obviously a church that met together regularly, not just on Sundays, not just on house group night, whatever that is. But it gives the impression to me that this was a 24/7 church, that actually the gathered people were always available to support one another when they've been on their front line. And I think that's kind of challenging for us. You see, we're called to be part of God's family. It says in Hebrews 25, that we should gather together regularly. We should gather together regularly. There's something very important about us coming together and supporting one another. And certainly when we're on our front lines, if we're really taking that seriously, then we need to be a resource for one another to help support and encourage one another. And so I think that the challenge for us is that, are we available every day, all day? Now, I know we do that in smaller groups, and I know we have personal relationships, but just imagine what that would be like for 300 people here. Can you imagine the effect that would have? It's a challenge. But I'd suggest to you that the early church was committed to meeting together regularly, and that's maybe one of the ways in which we can be committed to our front line. That's how the outside affects what we do on the inside. The second thing that I think this passage of scripture that we looked at maybe challenges us on is that it's about sharing our experiences on the front line, but it's also responding to those needs as well. If we go back to that first verse, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people, and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. We're all shaped by the environments that we're living within and that we operate within. We're all creatures of the environments that help shape us to what we are today. You may not think that you're shaped by your work. I think for some of us, we absolutely are shaped by our work. I know that when I was up in the city, that affected the way I behaved when I got back from the city. It had an impact, just like family life, just like the community that we serve. We are all creatures of the environment that we operate within. We're shaped by that. And the important thing there is that as we change, as we become more intentional being on our front line, so it is that our needs will change as well, won't they? We don't stay still in our faith, in our faith walk. And as our relationships grow and develop, so it is that we're going to need different things. It's kind of like, I don't know, learning to ride a bike. When you start off learning to ride a bike, you have a bike with stabilizers on. And after you get control of the bike, maybe mum and dad, maybe a nasty brother or sister deliberately takes your stabilizers off and sends you down the road, and you learn to balance. But once you know how to ride a bike, I would say to you, you don't put back your stabilizers. The reason you don't put back your stabilizers is that it holds you back. It restricts you. You don't need that. You move on. And actually, as you get more used to handling your bike, you may trade up for a different bike with gears, probably with a better saddle, maybe with lights. I don't know what it is, but your needs change. And so it is that actually you buy equipment to reflect that. And for us, we are shaped by our front lines. As we get more involved in our front lines, our needs will change. And that means, of course, that the way in which we can support one another, both in smaller groups but corporately as a church, will need to change as well. What will that look like? Are we up for that sort of change? The thing was that Peter and John shared fully about their experiences. They were in a battle. You know, the frontline series that we're looking at, the pathway that we're looking at, I think is aptly named, because we are actually in a battle. We're in a battle with ourselves, in some of the times, to be able to share our faith on our front line. Sometimes it's a real struggle for us to do that. Certainly I can speak for myself and know that I miss opportunities, or I just let them go because that's just the way that it is. I'm not happy about that. And I would say that probably for some of us, we may also struggle to share our faith. It's not easy. But we're also in a spiritual battle as well. We must never forget that. If we are doing God's business, if we are working for the kingdom, pointing people towards Jesus, and we're taking ground, who are we taking ground off of? Taking ground off of Satan. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need support in that as well. I think that's probably why Paul says, you know, put on the armour of God in Ephesians 6. It's about being a real disciple. And actually, we can help one another by being a real disciple-making community. We looked at that, I think, several weeks ago. What does that look like? How can we build one another up? How can we support one another so that we stay on our front lines? But it's all about sharing and being honest about where our battles are in our day-to-day walk, wherever we're at. I think sometimes we are good at sharing how we feel. We're good at sharing our personal needs and our practical needs. How many conversations do you have about the spiritual battles you have in your workplaces, your families? Peter and John shared everything that had gone on, and the church responded to that. And I think in some respects, honesty in this, it's not that we're trying to avoid it, but it's a new language that quite often we need to speak. And so actually sharing is going to be something that we need to learn to do maybe a bit more effectively so that we can support one another effectively. I believe that Peter and John came back and they just gave it all to the church. They said, this is where we're at. This is what it's all about. Do we do that? I think we do sometimes in very small groups, in people we really trust. It's not to say that we don't do it. But imagine again, the whole of the church getting behind that. What would that look like? How powerful would that be? I think that would be very powerful. As Peter and John shared, I wonder what the church thought about that as well. I reckon they must have felt very uneasy and uncomfortable. You know, change isn't always easy. I would imagine the words that they heard about being persecuted would have had quite a deep impact on that early church. And quite often, our personal stories about how we're doing on our front lines, I think, maybe will shake us up as well. You know, we sometimes, again, I think, need to embrace the challenge that's there, because undoubtedly, we are all facing challenges on our front line. And there's nothing wrong to feel uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong to feel a little bit at sea, the challenges that may well come up, the people that may well come through our doors, the people we meet on our front lines may not be anything like us. Probably, thank goodness, other than the fact that they don't know about Jesus. But the point is, it will make us uncomfortable, and if we can support one another in that, we'll actually move forward. God will give us the strength, the power, the wisdom to be able to deal with that. And we will grow in our faith and knowledge of him. We will grow in our discipleship. by trusting him and moving forward in that. It's about trust, even when we don't feel comfortable about it. We can support each other corporately as a big church. And as I say, I think there is enormous power in that. When we come together to pray about things, it's really, really important. That's what the early church did. How many times do we read through Acts? They came together to pray. So we can support each other as a big church. We can also make people, the outside, feel welcome inside as well. We've had a couple of reflections already this evening. That's going to be a change. You know, when we start seeing new lives being won for Christ, it's going to change us. It absolutely is going to change us. The point is as well, as a big church, we may not be able to always have those relationships that we want. Sometimes we just don't know each other well enough, and that's understandable. We all gravitate towards people that we get on with, our small groups. I can't comment here, but it's quite interesting when you speak at sort of these sessions, how many small groups stay together? And that's great. And that's great because that leads me on to the next point, which is as a church, how are we going to change so that we build up those relationships? And this is where life groups absolutely are vital. If we want to be a church that meets and supports 24/7, life groups actually are going to be key to that. It's going to be about understanding what you're doing day by day. You know, you get a text from someone, you respond to it, or you text them in the morning, or you phone them, you follow up with them. If they've had a rubbish day, you know, you don't come home and kick the proverbial cat. You come to your brothers and sisters in Christ if it's to do with a spiritual matter, and even if it's not, to do with a friendship matter almost. And we support and we encourage and we nurture one another. Can you imagine what that's like? If we empower one another to be on our front lines, what would that look like? Now, I know that some of you already do that. We already do that. But if we all did that, if we all got involved in life groups, if we all played a part in that to support one another, would that be transformational? Probably think it would be. The early church broke bread together. They lived in each other's homes. You know, they didn't wait for a Sunday, or in their case, it would have been a Sunday. They didn't wait for a Sunday or a small group night to meet. They were always available. And I think that's really quite interesting, quite profound. If we want to commit ourselves to the front line, we've got to be a church that opens ourselves up and opens our homes up to being available to each other, however that looks. The final thing that I think this passage tells us is that this was a people who were shaken by their experiences, both on their front lines, but also in the way that they lived out their calling by God as a collective body. The church prayed, we hear. If we have the... A bit further on, Gareth, please. They said this. So Peter and John had come back. They had told them everything that had gone on. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. They responded immediately. There's always something we can do. We can always pray. We've heard just how powerful that prayer life can be and how important that is. But corporately as well, it's really important to pray together. God's people together praying. But the interesting thing there is they're within their prayer. Let us not forget, we talked a little bit about the Lord's Prayer. One of the things that I think is always good about having that as a template is it reminds us who God is. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. He is sovereign. In whatever we do in our lives, he's sovereign. He is above all things, and he is above your front line. So you may feel vulnerable being at college, you may feel vulnerable being in your workplace, you may feel like you're struggling a little bit, but God is with you in that, and his name is above all names. He is sovereign. They reminded themselves, you know, this was serious stuff. They knew they were being persecuted, and they reminded themselves. Just think it's kind of interesting as a template. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves that actually God is sovereign and he's with us in this. We box him down so that we can understand him a bit better. But actually then we hem in just really who he is. He is sovereign. Remind ourselves that he is sovereign. But then it goes on. It says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Here's the mindset change. This is what's really happening as they're living out their faith. And as Neil mentioned on the video, they didn't ask to be removed from their problems. They didn't ask, "Lord, you know how tough this is. Can you just sort it for me?" Actually, what they said really was, "I know where you want me to be, and you know my situation. Allow me to do, help me to do what I know I should be doing." That's a different way of thinking. You know, I've shared this with the other groups. I come from a family that don't know Jesus, and I used to pray, "Lord, would you give me opportunities to speak to my brother about my faith?" I don't do that now. It's not because I don't care about him. Actually, what I do is I pray, "Lord, give me the strength and the courage to take the opportunities you give me." Because God gives us opportunities. He gives us opportunities on our front lines. Actually, what happens is I want it served up in a way that makes me feel comfortable so that I can actually do it in a fairly easy way. But the reality is that our mindsets need to change sometimes. That's a challenge as well. You know, being on the front line is not easy. And what happens out there is going to affect us. And it's going to affect the way we think. And once we start thinking this way, we can support each other more effectively. So I think that's really important. Then finally, the final thing that's in that passage is, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God blessed their work. I think as God's people gathered together to do his plan, his purpose, which is to point people to Jesus, he will bless that work when we come together and support each other, when we bring our prayers to him, when we serve one another, when we build each other up. God will fill us because we're doing his plan, his purpose. We're doing his business. And that's really going to shake us up. That is really going to change us. But actually, we're going to be really fruitful, I believe, for God's kingdom as well, just like the early church was. So they're the three things, really, that I pulled out of this. But what's very clear is that being on the front line isn't always easy, by any stretch of the imagination. But we're not there alone. We're not there alone when we're out on the front line because God's with us. We're not there alone because actually we have our church family around us as well. And we just need to be, and we will become, more intentional in the way in which we can support one another so that we can genuinely be as fruitful as we can for God's kingdom. John.
You was busily talking away. I was just jotting down some bullet points, so perhaps we'll just refresh those bullet points to you. First point, the church met regularly. Second point, available to support one another. On our front line, we need to be resourceful. Sharing our experiences on our front line. Letting the outside in is a tricky business. Challenges our normal patterns and routines. We run the risk of discomfort. Sharing deeply, open and honest. What do we need to do to ensure a culture that helps us grow together? And prayer is important. Remember, God is sovereign. thank God for opportunities on our front line, and God blesses our work. Now, absorbing all that, what I'd like you to do is again come back into your groups to discuss one of two questions. What might shake us as a community of God's people? And the other question to discuss is, do we want to be shaken?
Confidence that they had, that they're going out with God, and that was it. They just took God wherever they were going because they prayed, how are you going to use me in this?
That's very good. How about various types of people from different backgrounds coming into the society, into the church, kind of disturbing, say, the niceness and the patterns where we feel comfortable in our inner chambers there?
I was just saying that if my front line came into church, we'd have a whole group of people who suffer multiple joint pain on a daily basis and are feeling very low and depressed and need a lot of care and support. And we were saying how challenging it is for us to give up time for people like that. And you end up taking on people's problems and getting overloaded yourself. So it's hard then to see beyond that. And then we sort of said, well, but what if, you know, you decided you were going to go and see someone, spend time with them, and before you went, you texted a couple of people or phoned them and said, look, I'm going to go and see this person who's really difficult. Can you pray for me? And you prayed yourself before you went. You would go feeling you'd got the armour of God on before you went. And then you'd have people you could debrief to afterwards, and that would then lift them and their faith when they could see that God had worked in a situation. It's small things, really, isn't it? But that's how we would want to be shaken, I think. And, you know, that's helping everybody involved in that whole situation without anybody feeling completely that it's their burden, because God's bigger than everything.
Yeah. Thank you. In a way, what you were just saying there is really reflected upon, say, the Acts, about where they went back and shared with the church, and they praised God about that. So it's very encouraging there. Yeah, Scott.
Good evening, church. You okay? It's good to be back. I've been away. I was just thinking, I was just sharing my group a little bit what I've been going through the last few days, and I guess that will all come out at some point. But I was just thinking a minute ago, what might shake us as a community of God's people? And I kind of think, you know what might shake us? It's God himself, if we allow him to. Actually, see, I think the word of God, and fundamentally being disciples in the word of God on a daily basis, living it out, obeying it, being obedient to it, I think that's what might shake us as a community of God's people, actually. You know, you can come up with lots of different ideas and stuff, but I wonder if it's getting, and I've just been away for a couple of days speaking to lots of Baptist ministers around our country, and kind of a sense that we've lost that in our churches. And actually, just thinking about then, just after our group discussion, I was just sat there looking at that, saying, what might shake us as a community of God's people? I think the thing that will shake us is actually God himself, actually. And that his word is his word to us. And those words are his word, and they're relevant. The good ones, the easy ones, the ones we don't understand, he'll give us interpretation if we trust in him. And if we ask for it, rather than think we know what it is ourselves. And so I was just, I need to process that a bit. Like, I haven't seen this session because I've been away, but I just wonder if it's actually God himself and actually our relationship with him. And I sense that in the early church, their intimacy And their relationship with God shows me up as your pastor. And I kind of guess it might show a few others you have up as well, but I'll let you make that up, mind up yourself for that. But actually, I wonder if that's what it is. Because actually, the world is changing. And that community out there, we don't need to be like them. We need to be something authentically different with Jesus at the center that draws them to come to have an encounter or save them for eternity. Now, I've got pages. I've been away for 4 days. But I wonder if that might be something. You know, because I don't know, where's my Bible? I haven't got it with me. So that's atrocious, isn't it? Sorry, forgive me. I just came from Loughborough, so. But that Bible, believe it, live it, pray it, stand on it, stand in it, trust it. I think that's it. And as Baptists, we used to do that. I don't know if we do as much as we used to. Sorry, I'll pass it out. No more.
Thank you. That's great. Thanks. So, following from what Scott's saying, really, it's falling back in love. It's having a crazy love to get back into the Word. Yeah, that's right. In fact, I've been doing a study. It's called Crazy Love by Pastor Chen, isn't it? Pastor Chen, yeah. It's recommended. It's a really, really good book. But it's a crazy love. It takes you back to basics, to fall in love with God and fall in love, back in love with the Word again. So drawing the scene together, what I'd like to do is spend the next 5 minutes together in groups, just praying for each other, about what we've travelled on over the past 6 weeks, what we're looking at together in the future, the church and the community. Also, pray to be supportive, pray to be more open, pray to be open to where you feel God wants to be leading, but also share, be able to share with other people to have that confirmed. As we already know, we want to be in tune with God, and sometimes it's we're discussing with other people that they can put us on a right road or give us words of wisdom, but ultimately, wherever we find ourselves, we're doing the work for God. It could be, well, there's lots of situations we find ourselves in. So, but wherever we are, we're doing God's work. So just take the opportunity, if you want to do in twos and threes or as a big group down there, be able to just pray for each other. So a blessing from the Holy Spirit to open God's word to you as well, and then just encourage you, and then look forward to the next session as we move forward. So, yeah, just take the opportunity to pray together.